الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. درود شریف پڑھ لیں. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, when we look into Islamic history, it becomes very clear that the Rafizi Shia sect have the same characteristics as the Banu Israel. The Rafizi Shia sect have the same characteristics as the Banu Israel that came before the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Banu Israel are the Ahle Yahud, the Jewish community that were given the privilege to be in the company of Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, generation after generation. But unfortunately, the Ahle Yahud, the Banu Israel, had this tendency that they would find false and falsely accuse the most pure creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are the prophets, Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Even great prophets like Musa alayhi salam and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam were not spared by the Banu Israel when it comes to their smear campaign, and that they would find faults with Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Now, the same philosophy is visible with the Rafizi Shia sect. The only difference is they don't attack the honor of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, but they attack the honor of the great community, the most honorable community, the ashab, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the very first para speaks of Banu Israel and their character, how they were and how they treated Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And so you have another group, the Rafizi Shia, very similar. In fact, all of the qualities and the character, the characteristics that you will see in Banu Israel are visible and are found also, or should I say it's inherent, amongst the Rafizi Shia sect, without a doubt. They don't even spare the most elite from amongst the companions. People like Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, people like Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, just like the Ahle Yahud. They gave no respect to Musa alayhi salam, and they said to him, "You and your Allah go and fight it out with the enemies. Inna hahuna qa'idun." Look, we are relaxed and we will sit here. Anta wa rabbuka faqatila. This is the same attitude. Subhanallah. With Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the same. And so who is Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an? The very first three most honorable from amongst the line of Khulafa'i Rashid. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar Farooq, Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an. All of these great three companions, according to the Rafizi Shia sect, are all, al-iyazu billah, guilty individuals. And guilty why? Because of the act of treason. The act of treason that they committed, that they usurped the honor of Khilafat that was meant to be given to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and forcefully it was taken by Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar Farooq, and Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, and therefore there is no credibility and there is no virtue for the first three companions whatsoever. Wallahi, I'm in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any individual that is here can go and independently go and do his research to find out who and what are the beliefs of the Rafizi Shia sect. Even today now, what is happening in Syria is testimony. What is happening in Syria? The Ahle Sunnat wal Jama'at, the Sunni Muslims, are being massacred and slaughtered, killed one by one. Subhanallah. From day one, from the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq until today. And we know the history of Sham, we know the history of Syria. Great individuals, great companions are resting there. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid is resting there. Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala is in Sham, in Syria. But then you have the Alawi elites who rule and do whatever they want. And so even now, the future and the past. Pick up any of the books, ahadith, and find out who these individuals are. The most corrupted individuals, Allahu Akbar, who did not even spare Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar Farooq, and Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. It is shocking when I hear some people saying, Sunni, Shia, bhai, bhai. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ How can you call that person who hates Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar Farooq, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and all of the companions besides a handful? And the only example that comes to my mind is that the Shia are exactly like the Banu Israel that disrespected Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. But in this case, they disrespect who? Sahaba-i kiram ajma'een, the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And wallah, the ulama are not here to divide anyone. Never. That is not the maqsad of an alim. The maqsad is that as individuals, as Muslims, we understand what is right and what is wrong. Aaj to you will even see any product that you buy, even a medicine, if you pick up any leaflet and look at the leaflet, it'll tell you truthfully what are the side effects. Will it not tell you? It will tell you the side effects. Fine, take this medicine, but there is a possibility that you might have side effects. They are sincere, they are telling the truth. Buy a cigarette packet and it will tell you that smoking can kill you. Smoking will cause cancer. It tells you there, look, you take this, it will cause you cancer. So the ulama are sincere. Ulama are sincere. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam are sincere. And they speak the truth. It may be a bit difficult for some, but the truth is, my respected brothers, when all of us become strong upon the Ahl-e-Haq, upon that which is the truth, then inshallah you will see that falsehood has no power. It's only when we learn to compromise and when we dilute ourselves that it becomes a mixture and we don't even know what to do and what not to do. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, my respected brothers and elders. That is why the Khilafat of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah is so important that we understand. I have not come across a single book, subhanallah, that speaks positively of this great Sahabi, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. Besides a few, very few, subhanallah. And that is also from the ulama-i haqq, who in his defense have written books. And so we need to understand, who is he? He is a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu's khilafat that was given to him. Now, just to explain, when Hazrat Ali became a Khalifa, then everything was fine. Of course, the Rafizi Shia sect don't believe in Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar and Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. Then you have Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He becomes the Khalifa. We've covered that. And then thereafter, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an comes for 6 months, a brief period of time. And then thereafter comes Hazrat Amir Muawiyah. Again you see the color of the Rafizi Shia sect, subhanallah, harping on the same string again. And the false accusations they put on him, the same as they did with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And they say the only reason Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an had to forsake his position was because of the pressure that came from Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. Nothing but a pack of lies. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. A great brave soldier like Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an, who was the only bodyguard for Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, what is there a need for him to completely forsake his position? But willingly he agreed and he accepted Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. And so in our session tonight, I just want to explain that alhamdulillah, the Khilafat of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was not by chance, perchance, a mere coincidence, but rather something that was the master plan and a decree from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we look at the tafsir of the Quran, Allama ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh, one of the most famous mufassir of this ummah, I'm sure all of you must have heard of the tafsir ibn Kathir, in many volumes, tafsir ibn Kathir. In Tafsir ibn Kathir, Imam ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh has mentioned that there are some verses of the Quran which praise all of the companions, as in one verse, but praising all of the companions, the Ansar and the Muhajir. And then you get other verses of the Quran in which Allah only praises certain individuals from amongst the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And with regards to one verse which is in Surah Banu Israel, the 15th chapter, Surah Banu Israel, verse number 33, Imam ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks with regards to the virtue of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. And this is the ayat kareema. And he also brings proof from the famous muhaddis Tabarani and what Imam Tabarani rahmatullah alayhi has to say for this ayat kareema. And the ayat kareema is, وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَزْلُومًا فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا. This ayat kareema is the 33rd verse of Surah Banu Israel. Surah Banu Israel, Pandarwa Para, 15th Para, and the 33rd verse of the Quran. The translation is, for that person who is slain wrongfully, for that person who is slain wrongfully, as in that person who is killed, murdered, slain wrongfully, then Allah says, فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا. Then we have given the heirs, the family members, Sultana. Now, what is Sultana? One meaning of Sultana means divine assistance. Divine assistance. Allah has given the family members assistance, authority. And so, if a person was murdered wrongfully, then the family members are entitled to the laws of Qisas, that they can also kill that person who killed one from their family wrongfully. And so they have a right. And so these are the laws of Qisas, retribution, which we have explained. And so in this ayat kareema, Allah says we give divine assistance. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا يُسْرِفِ الْقَتْلِ. But the ayat kareema ends, إِنَّهُ كَانَ مَنْصُورًا. And also that with that family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help them. Mansur in the Arabic language means that person who is being helped. Mansur means the one who is being helped. So Allah is saying, I will help that family. Allah's help is with that individual. From the word Nasara Yansuru. And so, subhanallah, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, that Tabarani has mentioned, that Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala an, who is the great mufassir of the Quran for this ummah, Hazrat Ibn Abbas, the son of Hazrat Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala an, he says that from this ayat kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given information to the ummah with regards to the leadership that will be given to Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala. Why? Because he was related to Hazrat Usman radiyallahu ta'ala. And Hazrat Usman radiyallahu ta'ala was slain wrongfully in Medina Munawwara. And this is what Hazrat Ibn Abbas said. Hazrat Ibn Abbas said, I knew for sure that a faqih, a learned scholar like Hazrat Amir Muawiyah will never miss out. For he was Qatib Wahi. He would write the verses of the Quran and he will put forward to the courts, Islamic courts, that Hazrat Usman is my second cousin and I want the laws of Qisas. I want the laws of Qisas. And if he wants the laws of Qisas, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the help and divine assistance is with that family in which a person has been murdered or slain wrongfully. Understand, brothers? And so here in this ayat kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks with regards to the khilafat that will be given to who? Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala. And this was the opinion of Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala. And so his khilafat was not by chance, or that he did not use aggression or force or military power, aliyazu billah, against Hazrat Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala, but rather it was a decree, it was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surprisingly, a very famous Shia alim, whose name is Sheikh Abbas Qummi, Sheikh Abbas Qummi, he has written a book called Tatimmatul Muntaha, which is printed in Iran. Tatimmatul Muntaha. On page 31, this man writes, Sheikh Abbas Qummi, he says that Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an said to Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Ali said to Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that after my khilafat, as in the khilafat of Hazrat Ali, leadership will be given to Amir Muawiyah. Who said this? Hazrat Ali. So none of the companions were in the wrong. None of the companions. Why? Hazrat Ali had been also a Khalifa, Khilafat was also given to him and he became the leader. And thereafter, even Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an was given Khilafat. Allahu Akbar. So that today you'll find a lot of fatawas that are given, that some people even, aliyazu billah, go as far as saying Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was not a Muslim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Even Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an does not speak about Hazrat Amir Muawiyah in this fashion, in this manner. What a great sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he was. On one occasion, he came to the room of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his wife Umme Habiba. Who is Umme Habiba? The sister of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah. And so when Hazrat Amir Muawiyah came, he had a pen on the top part of the ear, just stuck here, a pen. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and smiled and said, Muawiyah, what is this? Why have you got a pen here? Why have you got a pen here? And he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have a pen ready that any time you call me and you want me to write anything, I am prepared for you. And if you want me to record any verses of the Quran, reveal to you, I am prepared. So I have a pen ready all the time for you. He had a pen and a sword ready. He had two things that were prepared. A sword and also, remember he fought in the battle of Yarmouk. He fought in the battle of Yarmouk. So he had a sword and a pen ready all the time. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a dua. And Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you abundantly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you abundantly. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Muawiyah, you must know that I only speak that which is revealed to me. I only speak that which is revealed to me. And he said that what will happen to you when Allah puts on you the qamis? When Allah puts on you the qamis. So what is the qamis? What is qamis? Qamis is this kurta, the upper garment that is worn by the men folks. This is qamis. So this is the qamis, and in the Arabic language, what it refers to is kingship or kingdom, or that power will be given to you, that you will become the leader, leadership will be given to you. So by giving you the qamis means that you will be the leader for the Muslimin. So Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, what will happen to you when you become the leader, when Allah will give you the qamis? So Hazrat Umme Habiba radiyallahu ta'ala anha said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my brother will become the leader for the Muslimin? And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. As a sister, she took this opportunity quickly and she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please make dua for my brother that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to the truth. Allah give us good sisters. Allah give us good sisters. And a good family, good brothers, subhanAllah. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Imagine here in the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks with regards to the leadership. This authority that will be given to him, that he will be the Amir for the Muslims. Allahu Akbar. On one occasion, usually, it's Hazrat Abu Huraira who is the Khadim, that he will take charge and bring water for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do wudu. But this time Hazrat Amir Muawiyah beat him to it. And so Hazrat Abu Huraira went to complain. I was about to come, but Hazrat Amir Muawiyah quickly came and he's got the water now. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just said, okay. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing wudu. I mean, the hadith, it comes that whilst doing wudu, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Amir Muawiyah. And then he continued doing wudu. And then looked at Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala again. And then continued doing wudu and looked at him again. And said to him, Muawiyah, when Allah gives you authority, when Allah gives you authority, when you become the leader, fear Allah and be just in your ruling. And be just in your ruling. Again in this hadith also, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly, in clear words, has spoken out and told him that you will also be the Amir. And he became the Amir immediately after the Khilafat of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala came for a brief period of time, and that was only for 6 months. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned again another incident, a historical incident. And he says that the name of the mother of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah is who? Hazrat The mother's name. Hind. MashaAllah. Idris. Hind. And the father's name is Abu Sufyan. Now, Hind was married to another man before she married Abu Sufyan. She was married to another man before she married Abu Sufyan. It is said that the husband went out somewhere, and in the afternoon, in the intense heat, Hind was in her room, in her tent, in her khaymah, and she was sleeping, resting. So a man came, thinking that the husband will be there, and he entered and he noticed that the lady is sleeping, assuming that she is the wife of that man who was the friend of this individual. And immediately Hazrat Hind woke up, and she saw a stranger in front. And so this man said that, "Oh, I'm here to meet your husband. Is your husband here?" And she said, "No, my husband is not here." And so very briefly he greeted her and he left the house. He left the house. And subhanallah, later on when the husband came, you see, when we talk about the subject of panchat or gossip, it's not something that's new nowadays. It's been there for a long time. And you get some individuals who actually live and thrive and make themselves comfortable upon the act of slander to falsely accuse someone. And so this guy, when he noticed that the husband of Hind was about to come, he said, "I want to say something to you." And so he said, "What do you want to say to me?" He said, "You might not know, but when you go out, I think that your wife is having an affair with your friend. Your wife is having an affair with your friend." Obviously this was wrong. And so this man got very angry, the husband. And he got so angry that he was prepared to even kill Hind. And so she escaped, she ran away, and she went back to her father and in her tribe. And she explained everything to the family. And now both families in feud prepared to fight one another. They were prepared to fight one another and kill one another. Now the Arabs were very superstitious minded individuals. Very superstitious. If they wanted to do something or take on a new task, they would have birds. And they would release the birds from the cage. If the birds would fly towards the right side, then they would say that there is a lot of khair and barakat in this task. But if the birds were to fly on the left side, they say, "No, it's not right for us to do this." Subhanallah. And Islam has given us istikhara. Islam has given us istikhara. That is the tartib, that is the sunnah. And so they were superstitious minded individuals. And so someone said, "Look, let's not fight." There's a famous fortune teller, a kahin in Syria, in Sham, who was well known for his right judgment. And so let's take Hind to this man with the family and ask him, "What is the condition of Hind? Did she have an affair? Oh, aliyazu billah, did she fall? Did she commit adultery?" And so it was agreed between both the families, so they took Hind to this kahin and they explained to him what the situation is. And so this kahin put his hands on the shoulder of Hind and then he said to the husband that your wife has committed no sins, she is a chaste lady and she has no affair with anyone, she hasn't got an affair. So this man was very happy, the husband. And then he looked at the face of Hind. When he looked at the face of Hind, he said, "Let me tell you something. I see that a child will be born from the womb of this lady who will be the king of his people." What did he say? He said, "A child will be born from this lady Hind who will be the king for his people." SubhanAllah. And so now the husband was very happy that if my son was to become a king, what else do I want? And so he came and he started apologizing to wife Hind ji, "Oh, very sorry." Hind was Hind, and she says, "I don't accept your apologies." I don't accept your apologies. How you treat me, you disrespect me, you put accusations on me, and then now you say, forgive me? And she said, I want divorce, I want talaq. And so the man had no choice but to give talaq. Thereafter, she got married to Abu Sufyan. Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned this story, and he says that this has been mentioned by Allama Ajiri rahmatullah alayhi. And so when she got married to Abu Sufyan, from Abu Sufyan being the father, Yazid, the great mujahid in Islam, who was a sahabi, was born. And remember, this Yazid is different to the son of Amir Muawiyah. And the second child was Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, who was given khilafat and leadership, that he will become the leader of the Muslimin. And so, alhamdulillah, that Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an is a great sahabi. And as Muslims, we need to have love of all of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin rabbil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa atu'ana gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.